From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Anyone who has ridden a bike on one of Park City's over 450 miles of trails knows all too well that feeling of either flying over the handlebars, clipping a handlebar on a tree, or brushing too closely with an oncoming cyclist. We most often brush ourselves off, pull ourselves back up on the bike seat, and with some scratches and scrapes, bumps and bruises, get back on to riding. But when it's more serious than that, we have to pay a visit to our guest, trauma coordinator at the Park City Hospital, Brent Worston. Welcome, Brent.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to see you and meet with you here and not at your occupational location.
So. And that's the goal, is to meet more of you guys out in the field than in my place of work. Yes, yes.
And I feel so much more comfortable now in this setting and listening with you. Now, what are some of the keys and tips to having a safe Memorial Day weekend, as it looks to be a beautiful weekend? Lots of people are going to get out. We've just gotten through this experience of COVID, and everybody wants to travel and experience the natural world again.
Well, as far as mountain biking is concerned, like you said, we have some of the greatest mountain bike trails in the country here. Unfortunately, we do see many injuries over at the hospital each summer from mountain bike injuries alone. It was really shocking from when I started there how many injuries we see just from mountain bikes. So we are pushing to put out some safety tips on how to not come see me over in the ER and have a more safe, enjoyable ride up on the mountain. A lot of it is knowing your trail, knowing where you're going. We get a lot of inexperienced riders as well that come in from out of town that will rent a bike and you know, just start taking off down the mountain, and they don't realize some of the simple safety features, like lowering your seat posts so that your weight is more back as opposed to forward, because many of the mountain bike injuries that we get in the ER are from going over the handlebars. So we're actually going to try to put out a video this year that will be shown at Deer Valley, some of the hotels around, maybe even movie theaters, that's going to kind of show some of the safety tips to keep some of these riders safe and out of our ER.
Perhaps maybe seat belts on mountain bikes?
Yeah, well, maybe that's not a great idea, but
as we know, because many of us aren't able to get out of our pedals if they are our clips, yeah. Before we get out. So yeah, bad idea, Pete. I'm just gonna be straight with you.
I'm just trying to keep everybody in their saddle.
Maybe some airbags or something.
Yeah, airbags would be great. Well, in the intro, Pete talked about over the handlebars. A lot of times we hit, because we're on a narrow single track trail and there are aspen trees all over, which are wonderful. Nothing like riding your bike through an aspen forest, but
right.
Clipping the end of the handlebar on an aspen, we know what that does to the front wheel, and then that'll send you over. But we also mentioned, you know, that fear everyone has, because we don't have that many directional trails here, of, you know, encountering someone head on. And I've always wondered, and I've never really heard the statistics on that, and you know, what types of injuries you see. What are the biggest ones, and you know, what's happened to that rider?
You're right. So certainly head on, you know, clipping your handlebar and hitting a tree head on, or a person coming your way. Those trees don't give very much, unfortunately. So usually the rider sustains the brunt of the injury, and then again over the handlebars. Injuries we're seeing, a lot of chest injuries, surprisingly. So broken ribs, sometimes broken ribs leads to punctured lungs, pneumothoraxes. And those are the ones where we got to get them into the ER and get a chest tube in them and get those lungs reinflated. So lots of rib fractures, lots of collarbones, and then unfortunately we do get the C-spine injuries and then also the head injuries. Obviously, we advocate for helmets, for sure. Unfortunately, they don't always prevent every head injury, but they sure do a lot of good. So helmets, you know, making people realize the importance of wearing the helmets is also part of the big push this summer.
I hardly ever see people without helmets on the trails. And yet, you know, some of them may be wearing helmets from yesteryear.
Yes.
We know that the technology with helmets now, it's either that yellow, the MIPS technology, or there's another type of technology that I don't know the name of, I think, that you see in different types of helmets. But does that make a big difference when you're talking about a head injury and, you know, the helmets that come all the way down and back versus just sitting on top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, the bigger the helmet, you know, the better it's going to be. The ones that come down the back, you know, give you a little bit more spine support. Sometimes we'll even see people wear full-faced helmets every now and again. Those obviously are even safer. Then again, the importance of replacing those helmets every, you know, 5 years or so. And if you do sustain a fall with and you're wearing your helmet, it's time to get a new one. Even if it doesn't look like it's visibly ruined or there's no cracks that you can see, the integrity of that helmet can be compromised. So we suggest new helmets if you do sustain a fall.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit of gear, because gear can play a critical role in saving lives, but it can also play a critical role in increasing injury, and I'll talk about that, ask about that in a second. You mentioned helmets, and, you know, they're a pretty costly item, and, you know, replacing those every 5 years would be a great idea. I've been sitting on mine for about 15 now, not sitting on it, using it on my head. Is there other gear that you would strongly recommend to keep people safe that you've seen just in your experience that has been a positive influence?
So, yeah, I mean, for the people that are going to do some extreme riding, you know, chest protectors do a lot of good, especially for these rib fractures and pneumothoraxes that we see. And then, of course, you got your elbow pads, your knee pads, things like that. You know, those are great and all, but again, the helmet and the chest protectors, because you're talking about your head, and then you're talking about all your vital organs are within your chest thoracic cavity, right? So if you can wear those, especially if you're going to be doing some extreme stuff, can save lives for sure.
Yeah, that would be pretty challenging on a cross-country 40-mile ride, but definitely a takeaway for those who are at the park or Deer
yes.
Valley or
yes.
you know whatnot, and they're just lapping. Are you seeing gear, you know, it reminds me of the old bar handles where, at least in the East Coast, we'd catch trees all the time, and then they would send a rider into the trees. Are you seeing gear that is potentially causing more injuries, you know, better gear causing people to go faster? What are you seeing there?
You know, I haven't noticed any gear that's causing more injuries. A lot of times when they come to us, the gear has been taken off by EMS. So it's plausible that there's gear out there that's causing more injuries. But I am not aware of that.
So let's talk a little bit about the types of trails that you see injuries on. You mentioned sort of an analysis that you did along with one of the ski resorts a couple years ago to see where are people crashing and what kind of riders are you seeing crash? You mentioned in the beginning, you know, people getting out on a trail that's, you know, beyond their skill level.
Right, right. So we, you know, interesting enough, you know, there's Deer Valley has, you know, some pretty amazing runs. We did do some research over the last couple of years on where a lot of these injuries were coming from. The one of them that really saw a lot of injuries was Tidal Wave. So it's not their most, it's not a black run, it's a blue run, but people will often come in and see that it's not a black run and feel like, oh, this is going to be fine, this is comfortable for me. And they get going down those pretty fast, not knowing, you know, the safety problems that it could present. And those are the ones that end up going over the handlebars or clipping a handlebar, as you say, and getting injured. So tidal wave was a big one. And again, it's everybody from expert riders to people that are coming in, renting a mountain bike and trying it out. So, I mean, the big thing is knowing, you know, maybe take the trail not so fast the first time you go down. Know what turns you're getting into. Know what jumps, tabletops, those sorts of things that are going to be, you're going to be faced with until you get used to, you know, the bike you're on, especially if it's a rental.
It actually surprises me that those types of trails see the most injuries because they're wide, they're sculpted, you know, they're meant to sort of handle the way gravity, you know, or G-forces take you into the curve. And so that really surprises me. I would think that the greater number, and maybe it's just the volume of people on the trails, but the greater volume I would think would be, you know, trails that have, that are narrow, that have a lot of roots, that have a lot of rocks, that, you know, another thing that we haven't even mentioned that I think is the most dangerous is clipping your pedal, you know, when you ride with one foot down and one foot up, which you should never do,
right,
you know, that lower foot just clipping a rock. I've seen people just fly so far after that happens. And it surprises you because you usually haven't seen the rock or whatever it is you clip the pedal on.
Right. Yes, exactly. You know, you're right. It's the sheer numbers of people that are going down tidal wave and, you know, the ones where you can get on the ski lift, have it take you up there and then ride down. We presented some of the information to Deer Valley of how many injuries we saw. We showed them tidal wave, and they weren't surprised because they came back with how many numbers of people go down tidal wave, and it was like 20,000 bike ticks a month of people going down some of those trails. So
I mean, that's both amazing and just astronomical.
yeah. So, you know, we see, for as many people that go down these trails, you know, we see 200 injuries that come into our ER a season, which seems like a lot, but you're right. When you're having that many people mountain biking, it's, you know, it's not as big as we think. But obviously, the fewer people we can get in our ER, the better.
Right. I'm going to actually surmise that it has to do with the names. Tidal Wave and Holy Roller, those are so just comforting. But if they named it like Death Monkey or Insanity or, you know, something like that, it scares people away. No matter what color it is, it would probably be better.
They have the newer trail Tsunami, and it's a black trail, and we were gearing up for getting lots of people from that trail because it was a black run, and Holy Roller's green, and Tidal Wave is blue, but we didn't see nearly as many from that one, and I wonder if it's because it's a black run and it says Tsunami on it, and so maybe there is something to that. Maybe we should rename these trails something
right,
a little more.
Even Tsunami is, you know, more scary than a tidal wave. You know, I think of a tidal
there
pool.
Isn't there a trail called Fire Swamp? Is that scary enough?
I'm not going on it.
Jaws of Death.
I think so. I mean, just, yeah. So we should all take a moment and make sure that we've got, you know, our feet leveled and the right gear and we're comfortable before we jump in on Jaws of Death and Fire Swamp.
Exactly.
Are there areas besides Deer Valley that, you know, we can kind of, you mentioned, know the terrain, know where we're going. Other areas in Park City that you've maybe not seen a ton, but just more injuries on that can give us some perspective?
So once you get outside of Deer Valley, yes, they're all over the place, right? You know, we'll see them on simple trails like Round Valley. You know, we'll, you know, with the e-bikes and stuff coming out now, people are going faster than they have ever gone because now we have these e-bike pedal assist bikes that are. It allows people that are aging, you know, to have more access to these trails because of these pedal assist e-bikes, but it comes with its own set of problems. Again, it's knowing knowing how the bike works, how fast you're going. These e-bikes are obviously a little bit heavier as well. So if you go down on one of these e-bikes, you know, you're having a heavier bike that could potentially cause more injury as well.
I just imagine Lynn or I, you know, who've never probably ridden e-bikes and getting just falling and getting crushed by them, you know, so they are pretty heavy bikes.
Yeah, they are. And I've crashed before on my mountain bike that mm-hmm. only weighs, you know, mid 20 pounds, and it lands on top of me, and it's not really fun.
Yeah.
what kind of injuries are we seeing on e-bikes?
It's the same typical injuries we're seeing with mountain bikes. Lots of chest injury, mm-hmm. clavicles. Sometimes we'll see some wrist injuries from putting your hands down. To break the fall. I know we were talking earlier about proper way of falling on these bikes, you know, tucking and rolling as opposing to supermanning down or putting your arms out can often be your safest way to prevent injury if you're going to fall. But yeah, a lot of the same injuries that we do see on the mountain bikes, just people are going quicker, and I think a lot of them don't realize the speed that these pedal assist bikes can give them.
I was wondering, you know, we're talking more and more in Park City about directional trails, and we don't have that many. In fact, a very teeny tiny percentage of our trails are directional. But how many accidents do you see with, you know, right, because of that, riders head on into each other? That can't be. I've had some really close calls, and even had, you know, like my knuckles scraped up from hitting, you know, the oncoming person's, you know, gear shifter or whatever it is. But what do you see there?
So you're right. You know, those are the most scary injuries that we see. The head-on with other people, head-on with trees. So we have an activation, what we call a trauma activation criteria that we, at the hospital, that if we hear EMS say biker versus biker or biker versus tree, those are the ones we're most concerned about. And we activate a trauma on that, which activates our team, which gets our resources there. So regardless of the injuries, we hear mountain biker versus mountain biker versus tree, it's going to activate our team over at the ER because we're anticipating some significant injuries. So that being said, right, we do have two-way trails like that, and that's why it's very important that we know our corners, right? We mm-hmm. we don't go barreling around a blind corner because there could be someone coming around the other direction. Yeah.
And always look ahead.
Always look ahead.
Picture there could be a biker coming. We've really implicated mountain biking a lot in this interview so far. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the trauma coordinator at Park City Hospital, Brent Worston. He's an RN. And, you know, we have just a few minutes left, but we might as well implicate some other sports. We were talking about how injured you can get just running and tripping on a trail.
Or hiking and tripping.
Hiking and tripping.
So, yes, that's another eye-opener. How many people we get from just running on a trail and tripping. You know, they're usually not quite as serious, but ERs all over the country, ground-level falls is one of the biggest volume of patients that we get. Everybody's working on how do we prevent ground level falls, whether it's elderly or whether it's running on the trails. There's potential for injury, whether you're walking your dog and you trip over their leash or so we do see a lot of broken ankles, tib fib fractures from just simple things like doing the running trails. So we got to be careful in that area as well.
Yeah.
We'll certainly be careful, but, you know, it's a mixed-use environment, and so it's really important that we're all being cognizant. As we, again, go back into this Memorial Day weekend, if you were to give us a couple nuggets, a couple, like, words of wisdom so that we don't have to see you again in the hospital, give us those, you know, first aid. What should go in our first aid mental bucket right now?
The big thing is know what we've been talking about. Know before you go. Know your trails. keep your speeds under control. It's just like, you know, in the winter in skiing, we get the busy weekends. There's just so many people out there. Less room for error when trails are crowded, when ski resorts are crowded. So you got to be really on your game, thinking ahead, watching where you're going. Not only on the trails, but, you know, water safety, you know, having people, you know, keep your eye on your kids, right? You can't be around the water with little kids without having life jackets on and constantly watching them. It only takes a few seconds for something as devastating, you know, as a drowning can happen. Wear your seatbelts, right? We hear that a lot. Not on the mountain bike. Not on the mountain bike, but in your car, right? There's going to be lots of traffic on the road. We see a lot of MVAs over at the hospital as well. Memorial Day tends to be a big weekend for motor vehicle accidents. So all those...
ATVs,
same thing. Helmets. We don't always see people wearing helmets on ATVs like we do mountain biking. You know, the mountain biking population is pretty good at wearing a helmet. We see more ATVers out there that aren't wearing a helmet, riding improperly. Too many people on an ATV. And again with the ATV, same thing. You know your trails. Know that it's a crowded weekend. There's going to be other ATVers out there, motorcycles out there.
Well, this is such great feedback, and from someone who doesn't want to see any of our listeners this weekend, we can definitely take that feedback away. You know, there's a lot of people out there, like you said, and we all want all of our listeners to come back and to listen to our next episode. So please be safe, please be careful, and have a lot of fun. But no, there's a lot of people having fun out there, and calibrate your expectations. So Brent, thank you so much for joining us.
You are welcome, and you're right. I will hopefully see you out there on the hills and not in the ER.
Thanks for joining us, Brent.
Thank you.
Brent Worston, the trauma coordinator at Park City Hospital.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.